Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Back in here for another episode of Believe in Kentucky alongside Aaron Gershon for the Cats Pals. My name is Vinny Hardy. AG, man, we got the whirlwind out of the way. And you had a quiet day, what'd you say, really?
Before we kind of, right? We haven't had that much going today. It's been kind of nice. I mean, obviously, this morning, you know, Alvin Brooks, that decision comes through. It's going to go Kentucky's way. Not official yet, but that one's going to get done. And then, you know, Mark Fox is officially added this afternoon. But, you know, it's been pretty quiet. No new transfers contacted. I do love that new rule change that came out today, that May 1st, everyone has to be in the portal, not just graduates. I think that is a very, very, very important needed rule. So that was some good news that came through. But, you know, from a Kentucky side of things, it was kind of a relief of a nice little comparatively quiet day around Lexington. So I'm sure we'll pick back up maybe even before bedtime tonight. But so far, it's been a pretty mild-mannered Wednesday, per se.
And that's fine. And look, y'all stay tuned. Aaron's all over it if something happens. As y'all already know, with the middle of the night episodes we did the past few weeks. But I like kind of how the pieces are starting to come in place, but it's deliberate. It's like he's not rushing. He's being kind of shrewd with all this. You know, you get Scott Drew decides not to come, but Alvin Brooks is like, hey, I'm coming anyway.
Yeah, how about that? That was something. That was definitely something. But what a pull.
Mm-hmm. Figure, his guy from BYU is here. Yep. You know, Mark Fox gave him his first coaching job. So, you know, these guys stay connected, and unless you burn a bridge, if you know I can help you down the road, I will. And now Mark Pope returns a favor to Mark Fox. So just, you know.
Yeah. No, I think he's done an absolutely incredible job filling out this staff. I think there's every element of it you want, right? You have two elite recruiters in Jason Hart, who was obviously the head coach at G League Ignite the last 3 years. And he's a guy who's competing with the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the Carolinas of the world for that top level talent. And he got plenty of McDonald's All-Americans in his own right there. And then he was obviously at USC for, I think it was 8 years, and he brought some pretty high-end talent to LA as well. They were in the Elite Eight last year there. So Jason Hart, amazing hire. That I don't know if that was on anyone's radar, to be honest with you. When I saw that, I was very much impressed with that one. Then Alvin Brooks, the latest one, 4 years in a row, I think it is, with a five-star. He's been the primary guy on. Obviously, you know, the kid coming in, I'm not going to try to even get his last name right yet. I think it's VJ Edgecombe, if I'm right. I hope I'm right. It's either Edgecombe or Edgecombe, but that was obviously him. He hasn't signed. Maybe he has signed as NIL, as NLI. I'm not sure if he's signed yet or if he's just committed, but I still expect him to end up at Baylor. I still think there's, you know, that chemistry with Scott Drew there too. But even before that, Keontae George, who just had a pretty nice rookie year in the NBA with the Utah Jazz, that was Alvin Brooks. There's another McDonald's kid who's going to be in this draft this year, whose name I'm blanking on the top of my head. I know Langston Love was another guy that Alvin Brooks brought in. I'm just trying to pull it up real quick before Jacoby Walter, is the other one I'm thinking of. So you got another great recruiter, strong ties to Texas. That's obviously a talent-rich state. That's something Calipari has prioritized on his staff in recent years. So that's a great one. Then Cody Feger, like you mentioned, They've been together for 11 years. I think it's been 11. I know they were assistants at BYU together. Then Pope takes him to Utah Valley, then to BYU and out of Kentucky. So trust him, right-hand man, offensive guru type, can recruit a little bit. So that's that hire. And then Mark Fox, who will be in one of those two non-recruiting roles. You hit on it, how he gave Pope his first coaching job at Georgia, and he also coached Pope at Washington for 2 years. So that's a guy that they've known each other for, we're talking 30 years here. So plenty of trust, plenty of, you know what you're going to get from him. And, you know, people will kind of point to his record at Cal, but this is a guy who's been a head coach for a long time. He did a really nice job at Nevada, had guys like JaVale McGee there. Like, I think he had 7 or 9 draft picks while he was at Nevada. And then at Georgia, I mean, again, tough, one of the toughest jobs in the SEC. Still got to the tournament a couple times, had some pretty good teams, some good players like Nick Claxton, you know, was there. So, you know, remember, he had Ashton Hagans committed. He got fired and Hagans flipped to Kentucky. So he won't have to recruit at Kentucky, but he's been a head coach for a long time in the SEC. Just going to be a nice X's and O's guys. I think you're looking at, he's filling Bruiser Flint's role, and not to dish on Bruiser, but they weren't getting much out of that role the last couple of years. So I think he's done an outstanding job with the staff.
Yeah. So he'll be the, Will he do NIL stuff?
He did at Georgetown last year. I'm not sure if that – I assume he'll be more working with the X's and O's, and they'll hire someone that's not, like, on the five-man staff for that. I know Matt Norlander reported today that because they expanded how many guys you could have on staff. That's why Cal was able to bring in Welch and Chuck Martin last year, and then they moved – forgot who they moved out of a recruiting role, if they moved Bruiser out of recruiting or if they moved they didn't move Orlando and Chin. Who's the other guy on the bench last year? Oh man.
KT Turner.
No, he's been gone because he left for he got the head coaching gig.
Oh, UT San Antonio or whatever, right?
Yeah, Arlington. Yeah. Okay. I don't know who it was. I'll find it. But that's why, you know, Cal added Welch and Chuck last year, so it'll be kind of similar. I wonder, so Fox won't recruit, but he'll coach. That's why he's going to be doing what Bruiser did this year. He's the associate, just like Bruiser was. And okay, I have no clue who that fifth guy will be. Matt Norlander reported today it might take some time. I guess we hit on all the coaches. It was Bruiser and Welch was the non-recruiter. That's why. Okay. So they moved Bruiser out of recruiting and they added Chuck, and KT left. So that left the spot. So that was it. But yeah. So anyway, they'll have one more spot to fill. Might not be till down the road. It'll be a non-recruiter. There's been some rumblings. It could be Keegan Brown. He's a guy from BYU, but he's kind of been in a support staff role. So I don't know if you can bring him in as a GM type, and that doesn't count against the staff. I don't, that stuff, like, that's above my pay grade. I'm not sure exactly how all that works. You know, football, we obviously see how many support staffers they have too. So, but again, I think two elite recruiters, a guy who is been your right-hand man for over a decade, and a guy who's been a head coach, has won in the past, and you've known for 30 years. I mean, there's no room for complaints. If you ask me here, I think he has done, he's probably exceeded expectations with the staff he's filled out, if we're being honest, because he brought his staff from BYU and no one, you know, people might have been upset, but you couldn't really complain. That's what a lot of these coaches do. And he didn't. He went outside the box. He's with what? Two guys he's never worked with before. So you got to tip your cap to what he's doing. And that also means he's making a strong impression on guys like Alvin Brooks and Jason Hart, who probably would have had their pick of the litter to go where they want. And in Alvin's case, stay at Baylor, where they're doing great, great things. And he's from Texas. So just a great job by Mark Pope.
So was Brooks and Fox both going to be associate head coaches? Is that – or am I
– So Fox will be an associate. No, Brooks will just be an assistant. And so and then obviously Figure and Hart were announced as assistants. So, yeah, I expect Brooks to just be an assistant. And then we'll see what the fifth role will be. Last year, again, to give an idea, last year, Bruiser was the associate to the head coach. Orlando was the associate coach. So that means, assume the fifth guy will probably be that associate to the head coach type, where your associate coach is going to be Fox. That's what Orlando was. But again, you can split up who recruits. That doesn't, as long, three guys are allowed to recruit from an assistant standpoint, and those guys will be on this staff: Feger, Brooks, and Hart. So the next guy that comes in, no matter what his title will is, he will not be able to recruit, and Mark Fox won't recruit either.
Okay. As always, we are streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Appreciate the comments. Appreciate everybody takes the time to tune in and watch. Feel free to subscribe and all that. We got, how y'all doing? We're doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
Go Big Blue, Brandon Thompson. Yo, nobody says, as far as Cal, doesn't matter. Cal's running it back for another top five class, top love 10 preseason, and first round law. Yeah, that's, and you know, we talked about it many times. It's hard to think it wouldn't have been different this time next year, next March, because all the pressure just kept building and building and building from, you know, these past few first rounds, and him not really wanting to change anything. It's hard to see how things would have been different.
Oh, and yeah, now, and like we touched on last week, like, I think the three guys on his staff that you really, really liked last year were Chuck Martin, who might follow. That's still to be determined. Mm-hmm. And then Orlando Antigua, who, you know, probably not this. He didn't have the same success in his second stint in Lexington than he did his first, but a highly respected guy, a really good person that, you know, did well with recruits, just a genuinely good dude. And a pretty good basketball mind. He goes to Illinois. And then John Welch, who was your offensive guru, who I guess we'll get a better feel when we see Arkansas play this year, whether or not, you know, how much of that was John Welch and how much was Cal. How much was Cal? How much was Welch? We'll learn that now, because Welch is going to Fresno State and Cal will be at Arkansas without him.
Well, we saw Cal a lot of years pre-Welch, and we saw him 1 year with Welch. And so, yeah. We heard him say he wanted to play that way and all this. And we'll see. I don't know how we can keep that going. But you know, I'm with you. And everybody wants him to have a team already. Everybody wants him to have 13 guys yesterday. But he's taking his time. He's been shrewd with his moves. He's knows who he wants to get. Like you said, went out of the box and got some guys, impressed guys enough to bring them in that, you know, working at Baylor for Scott Drew, you're comfortable, you just want a title and you're killing it down there, and you bring him in, even though when his boss just decided he was going to stay. The thoughtfulness of, you know, how he's put this together, it's not rushed, but it's quick. I like the pace of it all. And all these pieces are going to eventually fall into place. Look, everybody's worried about wanting the team yesterday.
Yeah.
Come the fall, there's going to be 13 guys in blue and white, ready to suit it up. It's not as fast as some want, but it's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, 100%. And again, not to bring up other places, but just perspective, and they're doing a good job. Louisville, I believe they have six guys committed, and I'm not sure they have any freshmen. So those are all their transfers. Might be wrong on the freshman part, so apologies if I am. And, you know, Pat Kelsey's been there, 3 weeks longer than Pope's been at Kentucky, and that is not a shot. They're doing a really, really nice job so far. So you give them credit, and that just is a perspective. Yeah, six guys they have on their roster next year, and one of them's redshirting in Ali Khalifa. So they really only have five guys. It takes my point is it takes time, and Louisville, I think, just finalized their staff officially last week. Kentucky still hasn't finalized Dalvin Brooks. They finalized the other three within the last 48 hours, and one of them today. So all this takes time. This is going to be a big visitor weekend. Next weekend's going to be another big visitor weekend. You know, guys have been visiting throughout this week. I know Richie Saunders, the guard from BYU, was here. I think they're in a good spot there. I think the holdup with him is honestly we've heard this a lot this offseason, but it's religious stuff. He took a 2-year mission. He's a very, very religious person. I think there's just some thought and final prayer that has to go into it. But I do think eventually he'll be at Kentucky this year. That's going to get you to 4 guys. Great Osabor, the Mountain West Player of the Year a year ago. They're in a really good spot with him. There was a holdup on why he isn't visiting till next week. I think I was having a conversation with one person that talked about maybe it being NIL related and having to finish some sort of obligation in Utah so that those checks would go through and, you know, finish his end of the bargain. But Kentucky has the first visit, which tells you usually is a really good sign. A chance for him to not go anywhere else, not saying he might take all 4. Obviously, Washington, Danny Sprinkle, he was with him at Utah State and at Montana State. So, you know, yeah, there's a chance it can go another direction. I've heard they're in a really good spot there. So, you know, it could take 2 months, to be honest, to get to 13. But I wouldn't. There's no reason for panic. There's just not. Amari Williams, who we'll talk about in a second here, I'm sure, is a really good start, and they'll be able to get more and more. It's just, again, and now we have what? Now we know, in 1 week, we'll know everyone who's going to be on that free agent market, for lack of better terms. Like, everyone has to be in the portal by May 1st. So I think we'll get – I'm not going to say when – they're going to be able to get some commits start rolling in. Maybe some will happen this weekend. I know they have some visitors this weekend. They had Saunders here this week, but you know, they're coming. They're in a good spot in a lot of places. And again, there's another week of guys where the market still has to fully set itself up, and there's competition. I mean, it's free agency. And especially now more than ever, where guys can take a number they get from one school and shop it to another. It's crazy, and it's going to be slower, and you just got to be patient. But again, like, Louisville's at 6 guys. They've had a 1-month head start. I think West Virginia is, who also hired a coach, I think the same week as Pat Kelsey, maybe even a week before. They are at, I'll tell you how many guys they are at. And this, again, is not attacking these schools. It's just this to show you, this stuff takes time, and we're coming up on Friday. It'll be 2 weeks in Lexington. They have 4 players, West Virginia. And I think Michigan is the one who's kind of rolled out pretty quick with Dusty May, but that's Dusty May. He's probably the best coach that went to a different school in this cycle. So Arkansas is still at 2 guys. Like, and they, you know, they'll probably get a bunch of the Kentucky pieces like Boogie, Jordan Burke, stuff like that. But they're even still at 2. It just takes time for all this to develop, and it'll get there.
And how long had Dusty been in Michigan for a while?
Michigan, because that, I think it had only, it was definitely a couple days before Louisville hired Kelsey, because obviously Louisville was in the running for Dusty until the very end.
That's right.
That was their second. They tried the Scott Drew. That didn't work. Then they tried Dusty. Dusty picks Michigan, and then they pivoted to Kelsey. So it would be around the same timeline. I think West Virginia and Michigan made their hires on the same day, or around the same time. The West Virginia obviously got the coach from Drake, who's done a really good job there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Get a couple comments. We're definitely going to talk about. We talked about the staff. We definitely talk about the players that are committed to nobody. No coincidence. Well, showed up. We have a good offense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I am very curious to see what Arkansas's offense looks like.
Yeah, man. It's hard to see it not reverting back to me.
Yeah. Unless he hires another guy like that. And if he does, credit to him.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Hensley, take time and get some good ones. And everybody's in the same boat. But yeah, just be patient and get the guys to fit. It's your first year. It might be a gap year, a transition year, but I think they can still
There's no question about it.
Rome and the big ESPN names that only mentioned UK when Cal was here. Only criticized Cal. They all love Pope. We'll get love for all angles this year. They already saying Pope has the best staff in college basketball.
Great staff. It's up there. I mean, I'd have to do more research to tell you it's the best, but it's up there. I mean, those are 2 ace recruiters right there. And then again, a longtime respected head coach and a guy you have been comfortable with for over a decade. Like there's no room to criticize it. It's been as good, if not better, than ever could have been expected. So got to give him a ton of credit.
And you mentioned you said the possibility for a fifth coach is a while, but did you throw a name out there? So
I didn't. Possible the only or thing not? I threw out there was Keegan Brown, who was at BYU. He was like, okay. I think I'll find exactly what his title was. But my thing with that is, one, I don't know if it's happening at this point, because it feels like if you wanted to bring a guy from BYU, it would have been done. And two, his role at BYU was director of video and analytic strategy. So my question is, can you bring him in as not being one of the five? So I don't know how that would work. At this point, again, he might be staying at BYU. I don't know. They operate a different way. You got to remember BYU with their religious stuff, and it's a unique university where they're going to be able to keep guys easier than a Kentucky or an Arkansas or a Louisville would. Like, it's just different there. So we'll see. But Matt Norlander put out today, it might take a while for that one to be announced, which I think the rule cleared on July 1st for you to get the extra two assistants. I don't think Chuck Martin was brought in mid July last year. I mean, it could be one of those with this one. It really, you don't have to rush it. You've got your three recruiters. The key was getting your recruiters, and he has all three of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Karen, I sure hope Kentucky gets great. Yeah, we are right there with you.
I think they're in a great spot for him. I really do. We'll see. Some have called it a lock. I don't think it's a lock. Yeah, Osabor and Amari were both high school teammates. They played, I don't know if it was high school or something, but they're both from England, so you could have a British front court. It's kind of a cool connection those two got.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, we got the two guys from across the pond playing together.
Yeah, and look, Amari Williams was exactly what they were missing last season, right? Three-time defensive player of the year in his I don't care. I was having this conversation with someone. I don't care what conference they're in. You could be in the YMCA conference. Like, to be the three-time defensive player of the year, that's a pretty impressive feat. I mean, a guy who – you know, he blocks almost two shots a game. He's blocked over two shots a game twice, almost had two per game last year. And he can score near the rim. He can facilitate a little bit. He does a little bit of everything on the basketball court. Really good rebounder. He is a very much physical, experienced presence that was something they sorely missed last year. They could not figure out who to play at the five this year. You're going to have at least one guy who you always know what you're going to get with at the five in Amari Williams. And what I kind of like just early on, like there aren't that many, again, it's only three guys. So it's hard to really have a vision of what this team's going to look like from is it going to fit the five out offensive scheme stuff? But what I can say is if you listen to Mark Pope's press conference, if you've listened to just him talk at BYU and what he outside of schematics, he wants in ball players, it's guys who are going to just play their guts out. They are going to give it all they've got. If it, you know, maybe they're not going to win every game, but they are going to go out there and play aggressive. They're going to just, they're not going to take plays off. Like, it is going to be a full out effort and a full out fight every time they're on the court. And that's something like Richie Saunders, if they get him, there's that quote that's been floating around that Pope said that he throws his guts out on the court every time. Like, those are three. We have Richie's not a done deal yet, but the three guys they have signed up are all guys that are going to do that. Amari Williams, you can't be a three-time defensive player of the year in your conference if you're not going all out. That doesn't happen by being lazy. Travis Perry is from Edieville, Kentucky. He grew up a Kentucky fan. He was gonna be here regardless. He loves this school. He loves this state. He is gonna do whatever it takes to win games for Kentucky. And then, you know, Colin Chandler, from everything I've heard, he's a guy who is just a high motor, high energy guy that is gonna give it his all. And he fits the schematics that Pope wants to play with. You know, there's gonna have to be some ramp up with him. He's, you know, the 2-year mission, but BYU they're used to that. Pope and his staff will have a plan in place to get him where he needs to be. Richie Saunders was a guy who also was in a part of that. He played about 15 minutes per game as a freshman. That could be the rule for Chandler, but I think, again, it's a high effort guy. So I think what Pope is looking for are guys who are just going to give it their all on the court. I mean, obviously they need to be really skilled. It can't just be effort, but he's looking for that perfect combination. Like Grant Osabor, if you look at his stats, he just fills up the stats. He's a stat sheet stuffer. That's how you win conference player of the year awards. That, you know, Oscar was a walking double-double, and you never questioned his effort. I think they're going to get a bunch of high energy, high motor guys who are also super skilled and can fit. A lot of them are going to be guys who can hit it from three because they need it in this type of offense. So I'm pretty excited about that aspect of this roster. I think, and I'm not taking shots at any of the players in the previous year's teams. There's been so many guys I've liked personally and have been fun watches, but we've definitely seen plays taken off. You know, have a bad year on defense last year if plays weren't taken off. So I think Pope's going to build a roster where you're not going to have to worry about that. That's kind of my early read here.
Yeah, and you hit it on Williams, he's a grown man. He's not going to get pushed around. He's physical. He's rugged. all that, is a lot different. You know, he's got meat on his bones.
I think Pope put in the press release, it's man against boy sometimes. So, obviously he'll face different competition now in the SEC. But if you even go watch some of their non-con games, and I know Villanova hasn't been great the last 2 years, but he's dominating some pretty good players at Villanova. So he's a guy I feel really, really good about. That's a great first piece, and they're only going to continue to add.
Was Saunders married or Chandler married? Which was
one of Saunders is married.
Richie Saunders is married. Okay.
He's 21. Again, the Mormon. I'm not going to speak on all that. I don't know how, their religion works, but I know that is a tendency where they are, married. And look, it's a guy who, the one thing that I know will translate on the basketball court with that is there's a maturity level, right? These are
no doubt
men. Like, they are not the 17 and 18 year olds that Cal has brought in, and some of them coming in mature and kind of, you see them grow as the year goes on. And that's okay too. There's nothing against that. And Kentucky's going to have to get some elite freshmen to round out, maybe not this year's roster, but future rosters. You can't just be a fifth year transfer portal program. I don't think you're going to have to have a combination. I think the number should be two or three. It shouldn't be five or six like Cal had. But you're getting mature guys who get it. And like Pope said in his press conference, they're going to put the name in front of the jersey before the name on the back. I think that he is from what very early, but the guys that they are recruiting, the guys that they have brought in, the three they have signed are all guys that kind of fit that profile. So that's what makes me think that is we're looking for tendencies because we haven't had Coach Pope here yet. I think those are tendencies right there. I think that's the first thing he's looking at.
Good question from Michael Lawson too. Heard anything about Tyler Ulis?
This is speculation. I've not heard anything, to be honest with you. But one, he hasn't followed Cal to Arkansas, and I've heard that's unlikely. Again, that's fluid, I'm sure, but that could be something where, he maybe has to wait to graduate, and maybe. Remember, Matt Norlander reported today they're kicking that fifth coaching staff appointee down the road. So maybe that's that. That's speculation, but I haven't really heard that much on that. But as of now, he's not going to Arkansas.
Michael, I was just on the podcast with him and his brother there Mark, Cats Chat Pod from Harlan Countyans like myself. So appreciate them hopping in the comments here, and appreciate them having me on their podcast just a few minutes ago, Cats Chat Pod. Athir was in the comments hot and heavy last week. Athir's back. Javini and Aaron had a lot of questions last week. Went in the comments, said he had a basketball question for you and a football question for Jalen. So we'll see if he gets that in before this episode as well. So
definitely
feel free to.
I'm no Jalen from an analytics standpoint or all the X's and O's, but I'll give it my best.
Mike, and this is the answer. Even if we do get great, do we need a third 6'9" or 6'10" big guy?
Yeah, I think you still do. I think so. I think the key there is with Asabor and Amari, they're both in their last year of eligibility. So I think you want to get one that has some years left. I know Brandon Garrison, I'm not sure where that one stands. He was supposed to visit this weekend. He's visited Texas and I think somewhere else, but he's a former McDonald's All-American who played pretty well. Nothing spectacular, but played pretty well in his first year at Oklahoma State. They had a coaching change, so that's why a lot of their guys are in the portal. Steve Lutz, obviously, from WKU is the new coach there. But I think a guy like that, there's even a center that just hit the portal from BYU. I think he's even lesser of an impact guy, but I want to say he's got – I'll take a look real quick here, but I want to say he's got some years left in his – under his belt. So I do think you need to add one more big that's more of a guy that, maybe gives you actually he only has 1 year left too. So that may not even be one you want to touch either. And he's also from England. How about that? But you probably need another big that has at least two years of eligibility, preferably three, I would say. I think you want to take a guy that has high upside, but you don't necessarily need to play a ton of minutes this year.
Yeah, and with Khalifa not playing, and to me, look, we see how everything changes so quickly. The plan is to sit out and play for Louisville next year, but he might, you never know. That's a long time between now and then, and look at the football. We've seen dudes hop in the portal at Kentucky, and then 3 weeks later they're gone. We'll talk about that later, but
yeah, we'll get to that.
Maybe he stays, and maybe he plays for Louisville next year, and is great for them, and is an All-American. We'll see, but the landscape can change so fast now that those plans seem concrete now, and I don't know.
If Louisville has a terrible year, or they have a younger big guy emerge as a dominant force. Like, it may not happen, right? He could be back in the portal, but
so many things at play that there's just scenarios. Yeah.
So, and what Kentucky's going to need, they're not only going to need that younger type, but if there's foul trouble, like, you got to get another big in there. So, Khalifa's not even going to be able to give you that this year. So, it just didn't make, I guess Louisville has a plan where it's going to make sense for them, but. Again, very early, but since they have Amari Williams signed and they're in a really good position for Grant Osabar, and that like on paper appears like it's gonna be your two starting bigs, like Khalifa doesn't fit in. I think you need a guy who obviously can play this year and can develop to be the third. And again, that's all assuming that Osabar comes here. That's an assumption. It's not a lock.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's when nobody Pope visiting with Trent Noah. Did that happen?
I didn't see that
last week. I hadn't heard.
I don't think that happened.
Everybody from where I'm from is biased and hope that happens, but we'll see. He's already committed to South Carolina. Didn't get looked at by Kentucky.
So if he signed, he can't even talk unless he asks out. So I don't think Pope would do that.
And so would he, you say we're looking for tendencies and all these things with Pope. And would he fit? Yes, he's 6'7", he shoots, he's relentless. I think he's got a lot of those qualities. And, I mean, look, these guys, no stone unturned. He's aware of him. He's the second best player in the state. He lost in the championship game to Travis Perry, who scored over 5,000 points, broke King Kelly's record.
Yes.
He broke the county record held by Charles Thomas. Trent did. Charles Thomas went to Minnesota, played against Kentucky in the 97 Final Four. And I went to elementary school with him until he transferred to Harlan. But we know that Pope and these guys are aware of what Trent did, even though he wasn't a Cal type and didn't get looked at by Cal. But look, everybody's hoping like the Dickens it will happen back home. Where I'm from, and obviously, so of course, you're gonna be biased and hope, but we'll just gotta just see and just relax on it and see what happens. Yeah.
And the other thing with that in this age of college athletics, man, is like if he doesn't play much this year, or even if he does, he can hit that portal. Like, could be. How many times have we seen it on the football side where they end up with guys they recruited in the past? I mean,
yeah.
Chip Traynham just this year, there's so many of them. Like, I don't even want to go through how many. But a lot of the times in the portal, more so on the football side, but on basketball a little bit too, it's the relationships you build recruiting in high school translate, and you end up getting them later. I mean, Jalen Farmer, the offensive lineman, that's, you know, what Mark Stoops and Vince Mara both talked about with getting him is, you know, they recruited him hard out of high school. He goes to Florida. They don't burn any bridges and, you know, later ends up at Kentucky. So, you know, if Noah doesn't play much this year, or he's stuck behind people, or even has a really good year and wants to go get more, you know, nil money somewhere else, he could be here next year. So
yeah,
there's other avenues, even if it doesn't happen immediately. And I'm not saying it will or won't, but it's not, even if he doesn't, I wouldn't give Pope or Noah a hard time if it doesn't happen this year, but could happen down the road. You never know.
Yeah, he could be the basketball version of Wandale, in-state kid, and, you know.
There's another one. Yeah, obviously yeah, recruited. So. They had him committed, and then you know, he goes to Nebraska for 2 years. Like, that stuff happens. That's college sports now in a nutshell.
Absolutely. Karen, with a question, you think Adu is back? He's gone, right?
Yeah, I know he put Kentucky in his final five. I think that's leaning. And I know I think Pitt was kind of the heavy favorite for a while. Obviously, he's from Pitt. They're kind of on the rise. They have their coach's name is slipping my mind, but he's got them to the tournament, got them two tournament wins, a first four win, and then around a 64 win in 2022. And then this year, they just missed the tournament. They were in the NIT, I believe, if they took the bid. So I think
North Carolina,
the key with North Carolina was that Harris and Ingram entered the draft, and that kind of left the position open. So now Carolina, I think, will get pretty heavily considered too. So I think it'll probably go down to those two.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get to the football too. You in Harlem, my brother? I'm Harlan County born and raised in Lynch. Know exactly where Nolensburg is at. Just went through there this past weekend, went back home to see my mom. So I was back home in Lynch, but yeah, I'm Harlan County and nobody. Appreciate your comments as well, being in here with us. And yeah, and I got called out on the other podcast. I did not realize it because as far as watching the portal, am I watching everything? No, I did not realize Hugo was back in the
portal. Yeah, that's okay. Well, I can't keep track of it all either, but yeah, Hugo hit the portal yesterday after the NBA. I don't know if it was feedback. I don't know, but yeah, he's in the portal.
So where do you think he will go?
I don't even know if he has a list yet. I mean, I know last year when he entered the portal, there was a lot of St. John's and UConn kind of in that mix there. I'm trying to pull up if I know I saw something where there was like a list of schools that are expected to pursue. Oh, Jamie Shaw from On3 has Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgetown, Louisville, Florida. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any insight on all those. I know Florida and Alabama, just because those are the two I watch the most, being in the SEC, he definitely fits what they're looking for from a center. So, you know, Alabama doesn't necessarily play their center five out. So that could be a fit. Florida, same thing, where they play a lot of, you know, five out, but their center's not normally a three shooter.
Well,
Grant Nelson was more of a four though.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So, well, because they had they had a really nice five there. Was it Bedecko? Charles Bedecko?
Charles Bediako last year.
Bediako. Yeah. So they, like that. That's the type of player Hugo would be a comp for there.
Is Arkansas on his list or not?
No. This one so far is Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgetown, Louisville, Florida. So I have no clue. We'll see what comes out. You know, I just know from watching Florida and Alabama play those, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. A theory with a question. And I like to ask this. Everyone keeps saying Kentucky has SEC rivals in basketball. Based on what? No one has accomplished more than my Cats the last 20 years, Final Four, SEC title, and much more. As far as that, Kentucky's rivals in basketball, it kind of rotates. It's no constant rival. You have teams that are good for a few years, and then they fade away. You go back to the 90s, Arkansas came in, Nolan Richardson, you know, those Kentucky-Arkansas games – were wars. Florida comes up and wins back-to-back titles with, you know, Joakim Noah, and those are wars. It just kind of teams come and go. Alabama has kind of risen up now. Tennessee's trying to rise up. Nobody has sustained it for 20, 30 years like Kentucky has, but it's just different, you know, teams will pop up here and there. You know, Auburn jumps up and goes to a Final Four, and then they're a rival, and they call themselves a blue blood and all this kind of stuff. So it's just been a revolving door of rivals for Kentucky.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, when Billy Donovan was at Florida, definitely Florida, even early on in the Mike White era there. Arkansas now. I mean, you know, well, those accomplishments you just listed, the coach was Cal. So, you know, there's going to be stuff there. And even before that, you know, Arkansas.
Yeah, Kentucky. Arkansas with Patino and Nolan
Richardson. Yeah, the 90s. Yeah. And, I mean, Mark Pope had a great game against them in 95 in the SEC title game. So there's a lot of history there. And look, let's not – I agree. You know, historically, Kentucky,
it's not LSU in the 80s. Final Four, Dale Brown and those
guys. Even just a couple of years ago when they won the regular season title with Nas Reed, who just won Sixth Man of the Year. Like, they had some really good teams that one came in to Rupp and beat them at the buzzer. So, that stuff may fluctuate on who's their biggest SEC rival, but let's not pretend that the SEC. There are teams that have caught up and passed Kentucky the last couple. Let's call it what it is. Like, Alabama has been a better program the last 5 years than Kentucky. There's no argument. Two SEC tournament titles, two regular season titles, and, you know, this year goes to the Final Four. Tennessee and Kentucky are pretty even, but, you know, Tennessee has two regular season titles in there. Auburn has a regular season and a tournament, two tournament titles in there. Like, you got to give credit to these other schools. It's a testament to the money that's being poured in to catch up. It's a testament to the coaches, Nate Oates, Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl, even Muss. When Arkansas was rolling, they went to a two Elite Eights with Muss. Like, the SEC has become a legitimately really good basketball conference. I'd say the Big 12 is still probably I still think, even with the Oklahoma and Texas leading, Big 12 pound for pound is probably the better basketball conference right now. But other than that, it's the SEC. So that's, you got to give credit to the other schools. Kentucky is still, from a historical standpoint, the king of the conference. They're still going to be the most watched, most highly rated TV wise, all you want to say, but most prestigious, best recruiting grounds, most money, blah, 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 blah. But you can't minimize what some of the other schools in the conference have done in the last couple of years. They've caught up and some have passed. Absolutely. And again, in the moment passed, not historic. That'll probably, right. It's like as a Yankee fan, like, that's like me throwing out, we've won 27 rings, haven't won one in 14. Like, we're not, the Astros have passed us. I know they suck so far this year, but, you know, they've been the better franchise the last couple of years. The Braves have been much more consistent. Like, that would be me saying that with the, that's kind of where Kentucky's at. Kentucky's kind of in that Yankee Cowboy where, sorry, I know I have to make it painful for you too, I guess, because it's already painful for me to say it, admit it, but it's in that mix of where we're, even the 49ers, I know they've been to some Super Bowls, but they haven't won the big game in 20 years, 30 years.
I down that hill. Their Super Bowl drought is 1 year longer than ours.
That's so right. Yeah. They've been to three Super Bowls and lost them all. So
exactly.
So, like, Kentucky's kind of entering that tier, but now you have a new coach and a new everything, and let's see them get back to it. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Jason Jackson was helping you out. Pitt's coach was capable.
Thank you. He's awesome. Yeah. He's a great coach. Because they were in Greensboro when Kentucky was there in 23, so I got to see them. Beat Iowa State, and then they played Xavier really tight. Xavier was a 3 seed, so they almost got to the Sweet 16.
We got John Hammonds, who's with the College Sports Cast. Him and Brad Harvey host that together. Appreciate him, Joe. Aaron, you are John's hero. Hey, hero.
Damn. I appreciate that. I'm not sure what makes me a hero, but
yeah, man, for real. But here is Jason Huber. How big a deal you think adding Jason Hart to the staff is going to be?
I think it's a big deal. I think, like, if you want to stay in the hunt for those elite freshmen, you need guys who have really good rapport with those AAU coaches, those overtime elite guys and all that. And that's what Jason Hart brings to the table. Again, he's been directly competing with the Coach Cals, the Coach Shires, Hubert Davises of the world for those high five-star guys to bring them to G League Ignite. So he's built those relationships, and he knows his way around. And again, he was at USC and recruited pretty well out there too now. So you're talking about a guy who's been around, and he was a great player at Syracuse.
Sure was.
You're talking to a guy who's has a track record of playing the game at a high level, has been recruiting at a high level for a long period of time. He's very well connected. He's a California guy. He's very well connected in LA, which is obviously one of the most talent rich areas in the country. Then a guy, he's going to do great. I think it's a very big impact. Him and Alvin Brooks are two monster recruiters, and now they're on the same staff. So I think it's going to make a huge difference.
That's it. I appreciate that the comment.
Because those guys, even if you lose them in high school, as long as you don't burn bridges, you know, you're going to have a chance. Look how many McDonald's All-Americans are in the portal now. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, if I was at the McDonald's All-American game last year in 23, like, half of those guys are the portal or and going somewhere new, including obviously Aaron Bradshaw. So
yeah, you're right. That goes right into a theory's question. We appreciate all the questions. Might not get to all of them, but we're trying, and appreciate y'all adding to the show. A theory said a question about Pope. Is it possible we have top five recruits eventually, or is he asking too much?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think you will eventually. I don't know if it'll be in the class of 25 or whenever, but yes, it's Kentucky too. Like, there is an aspect of it where the place will still sell itself. But now that you have Alvin Brooks, who was bringing top five guys to Baylor, you have Jason Hart, who was bringing top five guys to G League Ignite, you're going to be able to do it.
Nobody says, Hart will teach them boys how not to end up in the G League.
Yeah. But the thing is, G League Ignite's gone. That's why Hart's built. That program is done. So now I think, you know, you can play overseas. Wagner's probably, I would say it's still, and we'll see what Arkansas does in the front court. Uh-huh. You know, Boogie Flan will probably end up there. If John L. Davis, I don't know what's really going on with John L. Davis, to be honest with you. I've been trying to catch down leads on that for a week.
Get your brother to get that scoop for you.
Well, that's what I've been tapping into my FAU connection.
My fault. I shouldn't be divulging that.
That's okay. I've been working hard on that scoop, and we don't really have anything concrete. So, but I know there's a lot of Arkansas smoke. If John L. and Boogie Flan go there, does that make sense for DJ Wagner? Who knows? I'm sure he has plenty of options, but I would say Arkansas is probably the most likely, just given the connection. But again, let's see what Arkansas's roster looks like in the next month.
For sure. Football, man. I think we can switch over there. Sure. You know, Jeremiah Anglin gets a pick six. Now he's in the portal.
And Mark Story said, like, are you afraid a guy like that's going to head right to the portal? But I do think it was a little bit of a telling answer from Mark Stoops when he was like, oh, he hasn't really practiced and he's, you know, behind on that depth chart. So that one, I'm not going to – it would have been nice to have kept him around. Obviously, you know, he'd only been back for 10 days and was making a lot of plays in that game. But, you know, it's not like you're losing Max Harrison. It's a depth piece. It stinks. But I do think I expect them to add a corner in the spring portal. One that just came out tonight from Michigan, DJ Waller Jr., who was running some with the ones during spring ball. He's a name I heard about a week ago. Was if he hit the portal, he'd be one. It was a guy they recruited really hard at a high school. He's from Youngstown, Ohio, which we all know. So I think that one's pretty, you know, a lot of these guys in the spring portal, they'll go on visits, but a lot of them go into the portal knowing where they're going to end up. And I think it's probably the case here with Waller.
So Anglin transfers, Jordan Robinson in the portal.
Feel bad that guy. Lasting memory here is going to be tripping up on that touchdown against Tennessee.
He
struggled. He really did.
Yeah. So we talked about needing some spots to open up, and now that's happening. So
yeah, and again, like this was expected. They're not losing. The good news is they did it, and you know, outside of you would have liked to have kept Keaton Wade, but he was still a rotational edge rusher. You know, again, that was a tough loss, but you know, it's a tough situation with the twin brother being the third string quarterback in this era of college football. Weren't able to hold on to Keaton. Outside of that, you haven't really lost a guy that you're going to lose sleep over, I don't think. I mean, Jalen Geiger's a really one of my favorite players that I've covered the last couple of years, but the depth is there at safety. It made sense for him to go and reunite with John Summerall. You know, Isaiah Cummings made an impact at the end of last season, but Kamari Anderson needs to play this year. Jordan Dingle's back. Josh Caddis is back. Like, you know, that one made sense too. So like I'm just going through the list right now. There's no one like you're losing sleep over losing, you know. So that's the good news. And then, like you said, Vinny, that opens up spots. Mark Stoops touched on that after the spring game. He's going to need those spots. And I think they're going to do that to add depth at some positions that just need some bodies. And you know, the one thing I do wonder with is a little bit at not that they lost anyone that I'm worried about them losing, but receiver, the numbers are just thinning out a little bit. You know, you lose Cottrell, who you brought in. Just, we talked about him a lot last week. Just this crazy story with him. You lose Ardell Banks, a guy who we didn't really hear much about after he signed last year as a freshman, and then you lose Shamar Porter, which the running was kind of on the wall all off season with that one. So you're down. I don't know where they're at scholarship wide receiver numbers. It's got to be like six or seven, but you know what I feel like they're just going to, they have three guys they can trust in the starting lineup, you know, and Dane Berrion and Jamori Macklin, you know, Fred Ferrier, Hardley Gilmore, and Anthony Brown Stevens are all guys they're high on. So that's six you can trust to play. And then you bring in the freshman from Philly and David Washington Jr. Not sure how much he'll impact the room. I think Brandon White's still on the team. I don't know what his deal is, but I think what we're learning with them going hard after Penny Boone, who I'm sure we're going to talk about for a few here in a minute. Mm-hmm. And then they have a dual threat quarterback on and they need that another quarterback, I think, because they're down to the only Bo Allen's not even on scholarships. So they have two scholarship quarterbacks right now. But this is a dual threat guy who ran for 425 yards last year. So you're bringing in a dual threat quarterback. You're bringing in a former MAC player of the year who's a, you know, 1,000-yard rusher. You already have Chip Traynham. You claim that Jason Patterson had a really good spring. They're going to run the damn ball. They're going back to running the damn ball. I don't know if they're going to run it. They're not going to run it every play like they did in 2019, but they're going to be running the damn ball. And I think they want to get back to that tough-nosed, punch-you-in-the-mouth style of play. And, you know, they're going to do it with more tempo than they have in the past. But that's how Boise State was last year. They were the number six rushing offense in the league. Bush Hamden is a historically run-first play caller. And they are bringing, you know, the transfers they're prioritizing on the offensive side of the ball are to help with that run game. So I think that's kind of what we're learning here. We talked about identity with guys that Mark Pope is looking for. I think for the 2024 football team, we're looking at physical players on the offensive side of the ball, which would indicate they're going to be a run-first attack. And maybe they need to be, because they went away from it for 2 years, and they've been mediocre. And the culture, they've had culture issues.
Yeah.
Culture was, I mean, look, Will Levis obviously did a lot of good things through the air in 21. Wandale Robinson was the, you know, broke every receiving single season record he can.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that, so that doesn't mean they're not going to throw the ball to Dane Key and Berrion Brown plenty.
Yeah. But
they don't have to every play. I felt like they tried to force it almost too much through the air the last 2 years. And they were, the running games ranked, I think, 95th and 108th. And that was despite having Ray Davis be amazing and have Chris Rodriguez play really well when he got back from suspension. So I think they want to get back to the roots a little bit. I think 2021, they're trying to replicate some of that magic where they had a really strong offensive line. They could throw it when they needed to, but they could always trust the run game.
That's a nice formula to get back to. Jason Huber would have, maybe the players are kind of doing what the coaches do, which, you know, can't be mad at them. That leverage.
Yeah, and, well, They're in a really good spot, I think, NIL. I think the 15 clubs, from what I've heard, has been a really big success. And again, they're holding on to all their top guys. Like, they've had no issue holding on to, has there been a top guy since the NIL world that they've lost?
That's what I was thinking too. You were saying that, and there hasn't been one of those devastating transfers.
Keon Walker could go anywhere in the country. Dan Key could go anywhere in the country. They haven't left.
Mm-hmm.
So the culture in the NIL is strong enough. That's the point there. Like,
you're exactly right. Penny Boone too, the running back from thought Louisville might have him. And
they did have him.
He kind of pulled a Cottrell, right?
You know, just kinda... I don't know what really. I'd be fascinated to know what's going on there, what happened, why he left, but just from a objective standpoint, they brought in Penny Boone, and I was told this by multiple sources, so it's not just talking out of my ass. He was brought in to be their starting running back because they lost Joar Jordan and Isaac Garendo to the NFL draft. Their plan was for Penny Boone, who was the All-MAC player of the year either last year in 2022 at Toledo, to be their starting running back. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's NIL related. I don't know if it was really him getting reps with the twos and being pissed off about it. It didn't work out at Louisville, and I'm not going to speculate why. But that was a guy that they brought in with intentions to be their starting running back, and now he's in the transfer portal and very could well end up with the arch rival. Like, that is what happened there. So we'll see where it goes. But assuming they bring him in, I mean, look, they want to run the damn ball this year and Chip Traynham. I've heard a lot of people have asked me, does that mean Chip had a bad spring? I've heard the opposite, and I've heard he's, and just the one or two times I've interacted with him, seems like a really mature kid with a good head on his shoulders. He, you know, really impacted the running back room both at Arizona State and Ohio State. He's never been a feature back, and that's obviously probably what drew him to come here in the first place. But you can't have too much depth at that position where it is a grind. I know Kentucky, you know, the last couple of years they've had guys by committee. Bush Hamden's always had that 1,000-yard rusher, but he also has not been afraid to mix some carries up and give it to other guys. So I think adding another stud running back can't hurt. And, you know, they're in a numbers game a little bit there too, right? I mean, they lose, as expected, lose Lavelle right to the portal. Tavani Menzel, an incoming freshman, is coming off surgery. I don't know. He's probably going to redshirt this year. I might have redshirted regardless just based on age. But, you know, coming off an injury, you know, how much is he really going to factor in? And then do you want to burn a redshirt with Jason Patterson? You're going to have to debate that. And is Jamarian Wilcox really ready for reps? You know, he was a guy they kind of signed late last year and kind of had some injury issues and was kind of just, you know, a practice player last year. So is he really ready for an impact? So they're in a little bit of a numbers crunch, and Boone's a stud. So as long as the stuff checks out off the field, I don't see any issues bringing him in. And I think, you know, everyone's going to make it a Kentucky versus Louisville situation, but I just think it's a kind of a need for Kentucky that's getting addressed. Mm-hmm.
Save those football questions. Jalen will be back. So.
We'll be back, and we can answer. We can answer, and we can't break it down X's and O's and play calls and all that like you can, but can't take you through the lens of a former quarterback coach, all that good stuff. But when it comes to the personnel on the team and kind of what they're looking to do roster-wise, I have a pretty good idea for you.
Would this be maybe, you know, Jason trying to call us out? He called me out already because I missed Ugo going to the portal. Just to Rogers, is that the biggest impact transfer guy?
Oh, that's a good one. That was from, like, he was obviously a highly touted prospect coming out of high school and had a pretty good year in 2022. I think, though, that was a situation where Deion Walker was playing that position. And also, they just have a lot of depth at that spot. Now, obviously, the injuries have made it where we didn't see any depth during the spring game. But, you know, they are loaded. If they're fully healthy, that defensive line room is their most is their deepest room. And it was a really good room last year. I mean, remember, they still finished with, like, a top 25 run defense. And they have the best interior defensive tackle in the country for my money. So, yeah, Rodgers probably from a status, from a star guy was the biggest one.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a – one, it wasn't a shock, and two, they had depth. Did you remember he – no offense to him, but did you remember he was gone last year?
It didn't cripple him. It didn't cripple
him. Because Oxendine had a bounce-back year, and, you know, Josiah Hayes did some good things. Keisha, like, they had Khalil Saunders, like – they had so many different guys kind of rotate in next to Deion and do some good stuff.
Heat just beat the Celtics.
That's what they do, man.
They just stole home court. Yeah. They just a mass unit, and they went up there and beat Boston. Hit 23 threes, Aaron.
I love it. Love it. Make Boston's life as miserable as possible. Maybe knock them out.
Missoula always looks so confused, and I don't care for that dude at all.
That was like,
I love seeing him lose.
The Knicks and the Celtics kind of get like the play-in tournament. You did not want those two teams in Philly and Boston. Like, those are two dangerous teams now. Like, nothing against Indiana, but with their lack of experience, you almost rather play Indiana. I know they just stole a game, but Giannis didn't play. Rather play Orlando, who has zero postseason experience. So, like, that is a sneaky, dangerous, like, 7-8 combo there with Philly and Miami.
Yeah. Let's see. One more question. Not really sure we get one of these from Ethereum. One more for Jason. Lost to Georgia. It was not close. They blew Kentucky out last year, right?
Yeah, they.
Yeah, that game was not close. Didn't expect us to win. No, there was a couple of years where it was semi-close for Georgia being as all-world as they were. Kentucky was respectable.
2022, 16-6 right here.
Mm-hmm. And the 30-13 in Athens was not embarrassing.
No, and then they also had the game in the rain where if they could have had any sort of offense, they might have won that game. So
yeah,
it was 21-0, I think, but it was 0-0 at the half. Yeah, no, he started. Yeah, no, he definitely left for money. I agree. Yeah. But you're talking about he's probably priority 15. They haven't lost a guy who's in that priority top 10. They just haven't. Like, I'm talking, they haven't lost a Deion Walker. They haven't lost a Dane Key, a Berion Brown, Chris Rodriguez. Deion Walker is the best player at his position in college football, and he plays at Kentucky. That guy could go to Georgia, Alabama would be drooling and giving him whatever he wants, and he's here. And I'm telling you, if the NIL wasn't at least somewhat comparable, and he's a great kid, he loves it here, he would highly consider going in the portal because he would almost have to, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, Justin Rodgers, you're right. So that's probably their biggest one. But, again, he's like – you're talking about a rotational defensive tackle there. He did start, but he didn't play nearly as many snaps as a guy like Deion.
Your Knicks, man. Yeah, 2-0 on Philly. Roughed up Maxi a little bit, no call, and, hey, it is what it is.
I'm not used to my teams being on the right side of those. So I've seen a lot of bad calls go against my teams in a lot of years.
Charles Oakley thought his treatment against security was easy compared to what they did to Maxi the other night, man.
Yeah, no Maxi, no granting the timeout, no problem. But, hey, you still had to go make the shot. You still had to go make the shot.
Twice, man.
Make the plays. They made the two shots. And then Philly had a chance to take the lead. They missed the – they missed – Maxi takes it and misses. They had a chance to tie. The Knicks clamp them up and force a long heave by Embiid. Like, they still had chances after that. It wasn't over yet. So
y'all Reggie Millered them. Reggie gave them the choke slam with his 8 points in 8 seconds like back in the day.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. But if Miami wants to help us out and knock Boston out, that'd be great.
Yeah, man, because I love seeing Missoula just – be perplexed in his press conferences, and they are head and shoulders better than everybody. And I just, it's gonna be hard for somebody to beat them 4 times, but I'm here for whoever.
Miami's 3 away now, and they got home court. Never know.
Is Jimmy Butler trying to miraculously come back, or is he
You know,
any, some kind of holy water got, down there.
Anytime we got, you know, Jimmy Butler's obviously one of the best postseason players ever. Eric Spoelstra could find a way to win with. He could have found a way to win with Louisville's roster last year. But that guy's just a wizard. He's a wizard.
Yeah, they probably got Jimmy on some kind of holy ocean
water. They went from Pat Riley to Spoelstra. Like, that is just not fair.
And you talk about the BYU video guy, if he comes to Kentucky, if he not, you know, that's what Spoelstra was. Spoelstra was in there cutting up tape, and now he's a Hall of Fame coach, man.
Hall of Fame coach, man. He's been doing it for a long time. He's done it with stars. He's done it without stars. It's just hat tip.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What about your boy Aaron Boone getting tossed? I'm sure.
Yeah, the fan thing, that was funny. That was pretty funny. Not gonna lie, that you just gotta laugh that one. That was something else. But yeah, he didn't. He literally said okay and shut up, and then a fan right behind him yelled, and then he said, "I don't care who said it, you're gone." So
yeah.
At least it seems like MLB kind of took notice and said it was wrong, so he won't get fined.
Are the refs ever gonna have to be in a real press conference?
Not,
or would just be pool reporters for like
pool forever. Reporter forever. Yeah, and MLB. I don't know if it's like it with every sport, but MLB, man, like, they can't get rid of these guys. They're on lifetime contract. Like, Angel Hernandez can't get rid of his ass.
Yeah.
So,
like, Hunter Rennelstadt, man, like, he's been my whole life.
And what's crazy is if you go look at his scorecard, he was terrible. Like, for both sides, it wasn't just the Yankees. It was a terribly called game behind the plate. And he also had a power trip. So,
whatever. Yeah, of course. Unbelievable. Man, I think we hit everything. We got all the football portal. We got all the basketball hires. We got a little Knicks talk, a little Yankees talk, just because they're doing some stuff worth talking about. So appreciate all the questions. If we did get to them, we apologize. They come in pretty fast and furious, so we try to work them in and answer your questions as best as possible. But y'all keep them coming. Appreciate everybody that has subscribed. Quite a few of y'all have subscribed to the YouTube channel, so we appreciate that. We've got people following us on Twitter. Appreciate that as well. We do this every Wednesday at 9, and then y'all know we do an emergency podcast too, and any news breaks or whatever, we'll jump on here and do an episode.
Absolutely.
So we definitely appreciate everybody that came through tonight and watched. This will be up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Audible and everywhere you get it. You know, if you're not able to watch, you can listen. It'll be up there later on tonight or tomorrow in the morning. It'll be up on a Sea of Blue too. Jason Markham puts them up on their website as well. So appreciate everybody. I always appreciate Aaron and his knowledge. Our guy Jalen will be back. He has some stuff going on, stuff he had to take care of. So we'll get him back with us, get some guests on throughout the summer, and we'll be on top of everything that happens. So appreciate y'all taking the time to check us out. AG, man, appreciate you as always too, man.
Absolutely, man. Always.
Everybody be safe and have a good night. For Aaron Gershon, my name is Vinny Hardy. It's been another episode of Believe in Kentucky on the Believe Podcast Network. See everybody next week, if not before.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.